Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you lost Big Brother and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome to another edition of Why Blank Lost. I'm David Bloomberg, and the committee says it's okay for me to introduce myself. The committee has also said it's okay for me to introduce my co-host and our guest this week. So with me, as always, is my side alliance, Jessica Lewis, who the committee will probably tell me to get rid of eventually.
I thought I was your ride or die like 2 weeks ago. Now I'm just the side alliance.
You are my untouchable. Now, but you're my side alliance. But there's the committee. And if the committee tells me to get rid of you, I have to get rid of you. That's all there is.
This is very unfair. I don't appreciate being treated this way.
Well, now you sound like Nicole, so you better watch it.
No, I have to start crying then, don't I?
Yeah, yeah. Fake crying.
Someone teach me how to act.
Yeah. And of course, welcome someone who may be familiar to those of you who watch or listen to Taryn's live feed updates, JT Tranberg from the RHAP class of 2020.
Hi.
Welcome, JT. Thank you for joining us on this.
Of course. Thank you. I'm so excited. I am trying to, you know, keep it under, you know, keep my composure. I'm kind of fangirling a little bit. I'm kind of, you know, like a little nervous. I'm excited, but I think I'm happy because I got invited to Nicole's wedding. So that's all that matters.
Me too, my goodness.
Even Ian didn't get invited. So,
so many people got invited. You better save your money. Sounds like it's going to be an expensive wedding.
Yeah. I can't.
Yeah. So anyway, yes, the committee has said we can proceed. So therefore, you know, we can proceed here. And for anyone who is new to the podcast, each week we look at the player who was voted out and analyze their gameplay using what we saw on TV, live feeds, interviews, and other information. We compare everything about their game to a set of guiding rules I originally wrote back in 2004 and have modified since, including the most recent version posted at robhezawebsite.com/bigbrotherrules. This week, of course, we're looking at Ian. And for once, there's not any immediately glaringly obvious reason for everyone to point to and say that's why he went home. Like there have been in past weeks where we start by saying, even though there's that, there's a lot of other things. Now, Ian had his own opinions on the matter, which we'll discuss along the way. But I'm going to give a little spoiler alert and say Ian was wrong.
Yep.
Yeah.
JT's like, let's do this. Come on.
Yeah. Well, before we get to that, before we get to the rules, Ian, there's several things definitely to discuss about the week in general. First, we are, you know, I already mentioned Nicole. I think we have to talk about her, even though I know it's been a hot topic of discussion all over the place. Anyone who hasn't seen the tweet by Shaolin by Nature, that's S-H-A-O-L-I-N by Nature, you have to find this tweet. It cut together the clips of Nicole that we saw on the show, interspersed with her live on the feeds, talking about how she was going to be acting and practicing and taking lessons from others. And it just showed how totally fake Nicole was being, demonstrated her contempt for live feed watchers, because she clearly doesn't care what we think of her. She only cares about the casuals.
Well, but here, we got to stop that for just 1 second, because she doesn't know. No. I don't disagree with anything you just said, but she has no idea what is going to be shown on the live feeds versus what will be put into the show itself. Right?
Yes.
So to me, this seemed so unbelievable because she clearly knows that she is being recorded 24/7 and she doesn't get to say, play this, don't play this, only show this in the live feeds, only put this on the show. So I was baffled. I was absolutely baffled watching this because people are going to see it. It's not like she is fooling anyone, especially when you have viewers like this individual that splice together everything to call you out on it. I was absolutely floored when I saw this. I could not believe like the audacity of it to then put on this show that we all know is a show. It was incredible.
Yeah, it just really surprised me the way that she... It's just so clear that she knows that she's on the feeds and that you have no idea when we're at Stars or when we're at cute fluffy puppies. But you also don't know what is going to be like sliced and diced from your DR session or yeah. What's going to be sliced and diced from the veto meeting. Only thing you can be sure of is going to be shown. You can't even really be sure is that 9 to 15 minutes that you're talking to Julie on Thursday. That's about it.
Yeah.
And you can't even be sure that all of that will be shown.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that Nicole has done this enough. This is, you know, I mean, does she now hold the record for the most days in the house?
Yes.
You know, I think she has a fair idea of what's going to be shown and what isn't. And I think that it just shows she's playing to the casuals. It would have been great if the producers had shown her prepping like that.
Oh,
but I
yeah.
think she just figured it wasn't going to make the air. There were too many other things.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm curious about some of it too, because there was some of the actual show that we saw where it appeared as if she was speaking to herself, like she was sitting outside talking to herself. But then it also looked like in some of the live feeds, she was also speaking to herself. And I don't know if there's, I know with Survivor, they tell you point blank, if there's two of you and you go off together, we're following you. If there's one of you, we might just leave you alone. So I don't know if maybe she had that mindset, but she was clearly talking to other people at times when she was saying, help me learn how to act and I need to act very upset. So I can't wait for someone to ask her what her process was in going through this and, right. and why she presented it in this way. Because here's the thing. If you want to put on a show for Ian, that's fine. But own it. Then you need to be very vocal to I am going to be pretending that I'm doing this to everybody else. And maybe she was doing that with the committee. I don't know. But it doesn't make any sense at all. It really is very strange.
Yeah. My thing is like you were saying, Jessica, if you're going to do that, like to Ian, to make sure that you still have his jury vote, tell us that in the diary room.
Yes.
Like when Davon was like, y'all, I'm gonna ready to go put these waterworks on Danny, and I hope y'all are ready for it. And she let us know in the diary room that that's what she was gonna do. So that way, when she did it in front of Danny, we weren't like, so Davon, you don't cry over this kind of stuff. What are you doing? And so we don't look at her any different because we know because she that's what the point of the diary room is.
Yeah.
I thought it was just to scream about competitions. And then I have to go and turn over the ball. And
listen, I don't even want to get started on that competition.
Jessica, how weird, how off would it be if you're doing a confessional on Survivor and your producer's like, so tell us about that challenge today. And how off-putting would that be to be in the wet rain sand having to talk about a challenge that you just lost?
Well, and they actually did that to us quite a bit. And it was, you know, I would show them bruises and different things, but I feel like it's strange the way that they do it in Big Brother versus what they do in Survivor. Survivor, it's almost like you're kind of telling what occurred. Whereas I feel like Big Brother, they want a narrative of what you were doing at the time you were doing.
Exactly.
Which is so weird to me. It's absolutely strange. I listen to it. I'm like, but it's over. It's done. You're not narrating what's happening.
Yeah. And you'll be caught into the diary room like 4 days later. And they're like, do you remember that outfit you wore the morning of the power veto? Is it clean? Because we need you to put it on to come back to recap the video.
That's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
I mean, but the thing about Nicole is you know, you talked about she wanted to put on a show for Ian, but she wanted to put on the show for us. She came into the diary room to give her vote, turned on the crying. As soon as it was done, walked into the hall, wiped it away, and walked out the door. You know, we saw her looking in the mirror. And we knew that that was her plan. We saw her practicing. And Jessica, to your thing, she knows very well there are always cameras on her in the big clubhouse. She knows she was talking not to herself, but to everybody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she knows what she's doing. Mm. And, you know, she's just decided to heck with the live feed viewers, I think. Yeah. You know, and hopefully I'll get all the casuals and that'll make my follower count go up and then I can sell more oil of Olay. Oh, wait.
You can't
do that anymore. Oops. Mm. Which actually takes us to the next topic I had, which is how people treated Ian. You know, Memphis was making fun of him while Danny, Christmas and Nicole joined in, laughed along. And then after that, it seemed pretty clear that they were spoken to by production, and that's why Danny kept insisting she didn't want to put Ian on the block, though, of course, she eventually overcame that. You know, Danny and Nicole not only claimed to be Ian's friend and got him evicted, but they made fun of him before doing it. I mean, with friends like that in the house, who needs enemies?
Yeah.
Exactly. I do really feel bad for Ian because obviously right now he's been put in the jury house. He has no idea any of these things transpired. Nobody can talk to him about it. And so he really is left in the dark about all of the truths of the people who are still in the house and the people that he's going to have to be determining whether or not to award them $500,000 if they're still sitting there in the final two. So it's kind of unfair. I'm hoping that when people join him in the house, that maybe there's some sharing of information, but I don't think people are going to openly admit they were making fun of him. And it to me is, it's upsetting to not only watch it and to know that it's happening behind Ian's back, but also it's mind blowing to me that people are still doing that for one thing and willing to do it on national television to someone who then they are hoping to gain a vote from for this game. It's all just, I don't like any of it, honestly. It's very, very uncomfortable to watch. And it's very uncomfortable to then have to talk about it because we want to support Ian. And obviously we want to support anyone who has the same type of circumstances that Ian finds himself in. And it's just really unfortunate that he didn't get that same support in that house.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Jessica, you said, you know, people aren't going to come back to him and tell him that. I don't know if, I mean, it wouldn't be me, but if I were in that situation, I ended up in the jury house and I knew the producer had spoken to me, I would probably go to him and say, hey, look, you're going to hear about some things. And I just want to let you know now, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I was just, I was shocked by what was going on. So I just laughed along, whatever, you know, something like that. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if he hears about it before he actually gets out into the real world, or they could just chicken out and not say anything.
Honestly, I feel like that's what's going to happen. I'm sorry, JT. I don't want to cut you off.
No. Yeah, I feel like this specific group of people, that's definitely what would happen with those three people, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Is there anything else either of you want to discuss about this week before we get to the rules?
Can I just give a shout out to Devon winning her first challenge?
Yes.
Yes. I know this is a spoiler-free podcast. So I won't talk about anything this week, but I'm so proud of her.
Yeah.
And yes, ma'am.
No, it is really incredible. I will say that particular challenge, I don't know if you're familiar with the Twilight Zone, but there was this one episode of the Twilight Zone. It was called like the miniature, I think. And it's all about a dollhouse. And a lot of the images were like coming through the window. And as soon as I saw this challenge, I was like, wait, that is the Twilight Zone. Exactly. And I just couldn't find anything on my phone about it, but I was searching. I was looking everywhere for it. And then Rob Cesarnino comes up with another Twilight Zone reference about the cookbook, which was incredible, by the way. So just put that out there, too.
Yeah, that was really good. I don't know how the rest of the season will go, but I just don't know. I've been saying this every day and on Twitter, like, if somebody can really get into, find that crack in the committee, and I think that crack is Danny, find that crack in there, and this could totally turn around. But as of right now, as we speak, these podcasts are going to be hard to listen to because they're going to be some of our faves.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're going to be our faves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah.
All right. Anything else before we get to Ian here?
Nope. Let's talk right. about Ian.
All right. Well, when I went back to go over all my notes, as I do each week, I found that I had fewer about Ian than anyone else. I guess it's, you know, not surprising since Ian said his plan was to lie low for the first half of the game. And he certainly did that. He still insisted in interviews that it was the right plan and even said he would do it again. But clearly something went wrong. Was it just happenstance and twists like Ian has suggested, or was his own gameplay or lack thereof to blame? It's time to figure out why Ian lost. And that may have been a little bit of a hint. So the first and most important rule is to scheme and plot. Being a previous winner, especially one who played a whole season with Dan, Ian should have come into the game knowing that and, you know, being ready to do it, to scheme and plot from the get-go. But as I just mentioned, Ian had a different plan. Since lying low for half the game, you know, worked for him the first time, he figured he'd do it again, despite this being All-Stars. The problem was he was lying so low that when the big alliances formed, Ian was left out in the cold. And even worse, he said in his ET online pregame interview that he hadn't watched any of the recent seasons, so he didn't know anything about the newer players. And he worried that people from the newer seasons would be friendly with each other while he wouldn't know them. Now, you know how you can overcome that? By having early discussions and trying to get to know those people. Mm-hmm. But Ian didn't do that. He made a deal with Nicole, and that was about it. Enzo said, not that Enzo's new school or anything, but Enzo said in those opening weeks that Ian hadn't talked game with him at all. Even this week, Ian said he hadn't talked pretty much any game with Memphis. And we're how many weeks into the game now?
Yeah,
I feel like Ian, I don't want to jump too far ahead to this current week that we just saw, but I do feel like Ian's scheming and plotting was like, boy, like it was like when you take a pot of water and you put it on the stove and you, whatever you're making, you don't need the water right now, so you just put it on low to start boiling easy. I feel like he did that. I feel like his water was there and it was in the pot and the water was hot, but it wasn't boiling. Right. And yeah, and I feel like his water just took a little too long to boil.
He was going to wait to week 7 to start boiling.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think his water was at best lukewarm, but yeah, you know.
Well, and I was curious too with some of his exit interviews where he talked about the caliber of gameplay of the people in this season versus the season he played. And I'm curious if he didn't come into this season thinking that, well, because it's an all-star season, everyone is going to be playing so much harder and so much smarter that I need to be very aware of how I will be viewed. And maybe because of that, he underestimated the gameplay that he should be putting forth. You know, I almost feel like there was this idea in his head that he needed to hit the pause button because he was going to be perceived as a threat and also knew that he was coming in as a winner. And everyone was going to be playing at this higher caliber. And so he didn't want to become a target. And I feel like he almost talked himself out of scheming and plotting early on in order to help himself later on. But it clearly didn't work to his benefit.
Yeah, I feel like every time that Ian came to a situation where he should have schemed and plotted, he didn't. So when Devon won that power veto, he already knew that Tyler was on the block, that Kevin, it was clear that Kevin was going to come down from the moment that she won. Regardless of what Danny was saying to anyone, regardless of what Tyler was saying to anyone, we knew that Kevin was going to come off the block. So he should have automatically been up there because even though he didn't know about the committee, Ian has talked about in his diary rooms that he sees that people are close together, and he knows who's telling him how to vote each week and where the votes are going and who's going home. So you've won the game. I know you can recognize that there has to be something going on. So you should have been in Danny's ear because pawns go home. I think that he did a good job when he made his, four prime his side alliance.
Yeah.
With Danny, Cody, and Nicole. I think that was a good thing for him to do, but he didn't lean into that as much as he could have.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, you know, getting to what you were saying, JT, he made the same mistake that we've seen all season, which is by playing the as long as I'm safe for now game.
Mm.
And then we see them getting picked off one by one by one and talked about here one by one by one. And, you know, but still he did say in his ET Online post-game interview that one thing he'd do differently was go back to week one and find some way to ensure he was in with the big alliance. And that's good. That would have been a good thing to do. But then he told other interviews that he was okay with how things went, and he'd do it that way again because he only got voted out due to a twisty series of events. He still doesn't understand how wrong he was in those terms. And that's the thing, Jessica, what you were saying, you know, did he see that it was All-Stars? So he thought he had to keep a lower profile or whatever. He basically said, this is the way I win. No matter what game I'm in, I am going to play this way. And,
you can't win these games like that. These games are social strategic games, and the biggest, I wish they were called like social strategic maneuvering games or something, because the point of these games is to figure out how to do what is my favorite rule, and that is to be flexible. And you have to, and we're going to talk about this when we get to that rule, but I don't think that Ian understood, or maybe he did understand. He just was just stuck in his ways and just in his mindset that I'm going to just lay low from now. But like, no, you have to scheme and plot, especially when you notice that the person you're on the block against is sitting by the pool tanning when they should be campaigning.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't just lie low. He took the idea of not playing to such an extreme that he had truly no idea of what was going on around him. Mm-hmm. He admitted in interviews that he was surprised to hear from Tyler and Nicole about the committee. Brent said on the roundtable this week that Ian didn't even know who the bad guys are. And the bad guys were the ones who were voting him out of the house. He had no idea. Ronnie Talbot, who was on our first podcast, and of course, more importantly, on Big Brother 11, said on Twitter that Ian made a lot of mistakes. People tried to warn him and he wasn't having it.
Yeah.
He could have had a real alliance, but he wanted to work with the fake people instead. And then meanwhile, Ian told Nicole that he was upset because he expected a higher caliber of decision making on All-Stars. Well, yeah, Ian, so did I.
Yeah, I think everybody did. And I do think that idea of him playing the game the way that he's always played does just show that there is a real problem with this being an All-Star season, because you're supposed to take what you learned from the last time you played and implement it into this time. Now, granted, he won. And so maybe he was thinking, well, it worked before, it's going to work again. But he should have been thinking to himself, but I am playing with all returning players, mm-hmm. which means they've all done this before, too. Mm-hmm. They've seen how I play. They know how I play. So I need to switch it up. I need to let them know that I'm going to play this game a little bit differently because I'm a winner. And because I'm a winner, it makes me that much more of a target. So there's all of these things that he kind of missed about it being a returning season, especially an All-Star season, and had this assumption that people were going to have this higher caliber of gameplay, which I do think really pigeonholed him into this corner where, like you said, people were inundating him with information and he just wasn't listening. I mean, he seemed to be someone that a lot of people were talking to early on about the various relationships and just spoon feeding him. And it just wasn't going anywhere. And it was painful to watch, really.
Yeah, I definitely, those first two or three weeks of the game, I definitely saw Ian in a position that we saw Tyler at the beginning of his first season, which is where you're able to scheme and plot with by letting other people do the scheming and plotting for you. Yeah. By taking the information in, using that information and telling certain people certain bits of that information and letting them go at it. And that I'm a fan of that type of gameplay. When I play online games, that's how I play. People know it. It's not a secret. Like, that is like a great way to scheme and plot and also keep your and also lay low like you want to. Mm-hmm. Is by letting other people do the dirty work. But you have to make sure that you're in there and that you're doing the work, or else when it gets to the end of the game, it's not going to look like you did anything.
Yeah. But, exactly. And you also have to get to the end of the game.
Right.
You know, I mean, all the way till the moment he was voted out, Ian still incorrectly believed that Danny made quote unquote a mistake by nominating him while thinking he was a safe pawn. And it wasn't until after he saw the goodbye messages that he started to realize that she knew exactly what she was doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, even with that said, I do want to digress for a moment here, because I do think she made a mistake, but not the one he thought that she was making, because she messed up by getting rid of an ally. You know, Danny told Nicole that Ian only had connections to them and used that as a reason to nominate him. But, you know, Jessica and I discussed just last week that when it came to Christmas and Bailey, those are the people you should keep. Yes. If you're the only one who has a connection with them, why are you getting rid of them? They're thinking
100%.
They're thinking ass backwards. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, we're not going to upset anyone because they only have a connection to me. Then you keep
exactly.
them.
Exactly. That's right. Why you keep them in the game.
Yeah.
Because they're going to run to you.
Yeah. Enzo and Tyler were laughing at Danny picking her friend Ian rather than putting up Enzo as a replacement nominee.
Yeah.
You know, we may end up talking about that on why Danny lost, but I also just, I had to bring it up here.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think that the fact that Ian went on the block versus Enzo definitely says a lot about the relationship that Danny has with the committee. Mm-hmm. But we will definitely get into that, because hopefully there are going to be six committee podcasts about why those members
lost.
Yeah. That's the goal. That's my personal goal.
Yeah, she has an unhealthy relationship with the committee, I would say.
You know? For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we can move on to the second rule after, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about Ian doing very little. But it tells players not to scheme and plot too much and to keep their scheming secret. Considering the amount of time we just spent talking about Ian not doing it, he really didn't have to worry about scheming and plotting too much. Except in one case, I would say, when he started promoting the octopus theory, bolstered by what he heard from the wall yeller about Cody. Now, even that said, I don't know if it mattered, because he was already on the outs. There was not a whole lot of options this week, you know, by the time it was said and done. But he definitely didn't help himself by drawing Cody's attention the way he did.
Yeah, I totally agree that. I don't want to say lost an ally, but he definitely didn't gain a vote there mm-hmm. For the future times. But I feel like when we talk about the rules and Ian, we put a little asterisk by this that says, scheme and plot more.
Yeah, exactly.
Cause I feel like Ian just didn't scheme and plot enough. I feel like he should have really like laid into Tyler. Cause if Ian did the right kind of campaigning, I think that he might have been able to just get Nicole to say, you know what? Screw it. Mm-hmm. Either she breaks the tie or you go. Like I know, based on Ian's past gameplay and how Nicole can sometimes be manipulated, I feel like he could have gotten her to choose him over Danny, even not knowing about the committee. And I think that he waited a bit too long to have the Danny conversation. He waited a bit too long to talk with Day in the love room. I think he waited a bit too long for a lot of things. And it baffles me that like he didn't realize, like literally, like I'm watching the live feeds and the camera is panning the backyard and Tyler's just chilling by the pool next to Danny and Nicole. And Ian is like, and he's not like, do you not realize that one of y'all going home tomorrow? Like, like he's not campaigning. So that should tell you something.
Right.
Right.
And I do feel like there was a whole lot of information that seemed to have been forgotten by not just Ian, but I think a lot of people in the house. I do think that there was an opportunity for them to take information that was provided by Kacer when he walked out of the house, right? Like he kind of spewed a whole bunch of beautifulness on the entire house and said, hey, keep in mind all of this when you move forward. And it was like everybody heard it and then went, okay. And they just went back to what they were doing instead of really like picking that apart and really looking at it and trying to determine whether or not there was some good information there. And the fact that he had a relationship with Kacer and wanted to play with him, but then couldn't because he knew that Kacer was kind of a walking dead man and didn't want to align himself with that, but at least take that information and try to do something with it. And I do feel like he was so complacent in how he thought Nicole had his back and just thought that he really bought into this whole pawn thing. And I'm sorry, but when Danny stood up and made her little speech about him being a pawn, was that really believable? I don't know how anybody could have heard that and said, oh, yes, she really has it out for Tyler. And she's announcing it to the whole house and I will be campaigning really hard against Tyler. Is that what you saw? No, I don't think any of us saw it. So it feels like he was missing so many levels and so many opportunities to make something happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like a part of this rule where Ian went wrong is in a lot of his post game interviews, you'll see even his interview with Julie, you'll see him say that he wanted to work with Kacer, but after hearing Janelle talk to, I don't remember who it was about wanting to target him and Nicole when she thought that he was asleep in the bed.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Okay, so, all right. So they wanted to target you in a conversation. They thought you were asleep. Janelle's played Big Brother enough to know that you checked the entire room. So if she said it, either it was, she was telling that person what they wanted to hear or was kind of like on a whim. But if she wanted to target you, you would have known it.
Mm. Yeah.
Because everyone else she wanted to target, they knew.
Right.
So
right.
And he could have taken that as a, hey, let's talk about this. And then who knows what relationship could have grown out of that.
Right.
Just like the Davon and Danny situation started with, so you targeted me, but now they're going to try to work together. Like, you never know. That's why, like, you always, until that person tells you that they are coming after you, or someone you are closely aligned with tells you that this person is coming after you, you don't trust nobody.
Yeah. Very true.
You believe none of what you hear and only half of what you see. Okay. So like he could have, but there were so many, like you were saying, Jessica, so many olive branches that were dangled in front of his face that he just didn't grab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard.
Yeah. Now we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
We're back, so let's get back to the show.
All right. Well,
we can move on to the third rule, even though JT and I kind of skipped a little bit ahead earlier.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It talks about the need to be flexible. And as we already hinted at earlier, Ian had a problem here that went back to his plan to lie low. The thing is, in many cases, lying low, not a terrible strategy, but you need to be flexible enough to recognize when it's not working so you can alter your plan, like you were saying, JT. And Ian simply wasn't. We discussed in the first rule, even now, Ian says in interviews that his plan was a good one. He told Mike Bloom, this week there was a really weird sequence of events with the disruptor twist and the veto being used by someone who was not a nominee. Unfortunately, I got the short end of the stick and ended up getting pushed ahead further in line. And he said something similar to Dalton Ross, adding that he normally would kick it up and play more aggressively in week 7. And that's where he was waiting for. I have no idea why he believes week 7 would magically have been any better, but you know, this game has been locked up by the committee and the commission and the, you know, all these other intertwined alliances. But Ian just continued his plan rather than adapting to any of the different circumstances around him.
You know, I think of it like I have another analogy. I love my analogies.
I love analogies too.
Like, you know how when you run a lot, like if you're a runner and you know, you're feeling fine and you get like a little bit of a pain in your knee, but you're like, it's fine, whatever. And you keep running and then the pain just gets worse and worse and worse until you eventually have to put something on it to get it to be as flexible as it was before and to move around. I feel like the Big Brother game was Ian's jog, but Ian was that joint that just until it was at a breaking point, there was nothing that happened that he could do to actually start trying to be flexible, because he was never, his feet were never to the fire all season. Like he was sitting, he was pretty okay. So I maybe in his mind, from his mind looking out, he thought that he was sitting pretty and was just waiting for the round 7 to come around. But the thing is you got to remember that you're not playing this game alone,
right?
And that everyone else in the house is also looking at the game from a different point of view and think that they're playing the best game that they can play. So you have to be able to keep your head on a swivel, be flexible enough to be able to see what's going on. And I think that he was just stuck in one place and he was like, this is working. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But the thing was, it's been broken for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah.
It's been broken since Kacer left.
I think he started to just feel comfortable because he, even though he wasn't, I mean, he thought he was in the alliance, that the four person alliance, the prime four, whatever it was. Okay. So, and he knew he had Nicole, and I feel like he was looking at his circumstances and feeling comfortable because he wasn't actively being targeted. He didn't seem to be on anyone's radar necessarily. And I think he fell into that, I'm okay. And I can keep laying low because no one's really paying attention to me. And he just became comfortable in that gameplay, unfortunately missing all of the signs that by laying low, you're now missing out on all of the information that is happening around you and all of the gameplay that's happening around you because you think you're in an okay spot. And the unfortunate thing for Ian is this is Big Brother and there's twists all the time. And things like this happen and the disruptor happened and you had people that won the veto and they take people off the block. And you always have to be thinking ahead that even though I might not be put on the block, I could be a replacement. And he just never seemed to be thinking that. And instead of questioning why Danny wanted to make him a replacement, he bought into this whole pawn thing. He didn't try to like parse that out either and really try to look at the decision of why she was doing it. He just really accepted what he was being told, got angry about it in the diary room, but didn't do anything about it. And I don't know why he just felt like I'm okay and I don't need to do anything, even though there were so many things happening around him the entire time.
Yeah, I feel like I try to like think of other examples from these shows that this reminds me of. And this reminds me of when I think it was when Chelsea was voted out in Island of the Idols. And a lot of her post-game press, she talked about how she just got too comfortable. Mm-hmm. How she thought she set herself up during that first tribal, and she thought she was fine. Her tribe was fine. Everybody was cool with her. And then she gets voted out with an idol in her pocket. And it's like, you can't get comfortable. You have to always keep your head on a swivel. Yep. Always.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, the fourth rule tells players not to let their emotions control them. Jessica, how do you think Ian did here?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I really feel like he kind of let friendship get in the way. He thought that he and Nicole had this very special connection because they were the only two winners in the house. And he also knew that they were friends. And I feel like he put too much stock in that. I mean, here, clearly, Nicole had other plans. She had the commission and she had the other people that she was aligned with, which was not Ian, which I think Ian is now struggling with because he's since found out that he was not part of that alliance. And I think you can't take things like that for granted. You can come into the house knowing that you have a prior relationship with someone, that you have a friendship with someone, but that doesn't mean that that person's going to have your back. And if you know that she's not that person for you, then perhaps you need to be looking elsewhere and not putting so much stock into one person. And I really feel like that's what he ended up doing. He really glommed onto this friendship idea and lost sight of the fact that this is also a game for $500,000.
Yeah, I think that the other place where this rule is a little shaky would be in his conversation he had with Danny in the diary room. If there was no HOH tiebreaker vote, then I think this is a good move to make to get her to make sure that her people keep you here. When he was like, this is your fault. I'm on the block. I think you made a mistake. You screwed up. I'm not voting for you in the end unless you're against Kevin or Day. And there's like, you screwed up. You screwed up. You screwed your game. You screwed my game. You screwed Nicole's game. I think that if the HOH doesn't have a tiebreaker vote that week, then that's fine as like a last ditch push effort. But you never, when the vote is that close and you know it's close, and you hope it's close in your mind, the way that you see things from your point of view as a player, it's going to be a close vote. You don't do that to the HOH.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you guys covered anything that I would have thought of. I mean, other than that, he didn't do a whole lot out of emotional reasons, mostly because, as we discussed, he didn't do a whole lot of anything.
He acted incredibly well, though, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. That was a lot of emotion.
Yeah.
There was a lot of emotion there.
Yeah. All right, so the fifth rule tells players they need to pretend to be nice and play the social game. JT, how do you think Ian did here?
I think Ian did fine. We didn't see Ian get into any fights. The one time we saw Ian get angry, it was in the diary room. So when he pushed over the monitor.
Yeah. He did.
That
was progressive.
But I don't think that he was mean to anyone. He stayed out of the political conversations. He stayed out of the social, any of those race conversations, any of that stuff. He made sure to distance himself from that. I would say, as far as playing the social game, I do think that you have to give Ian props, especially for the last game he played, that his reads, when he knows what to look for, are pretty good. If he has a hunch about something and he investigates it, he normally can get down to the bottom of it. I don't think that he knew what to look for. And I think that he lacked the social game enough to be, just to be in there more and just to really infiltrate. And I think that he would have found out about the committee eventually. If he was just a little less time in the bedroom, you know, just a little more. Like I always said, if I ever get a Big Brother, y'all might as well put my sheets and blanket on the couch, because I'm never going in a room by myself. No, I'm going to be in everybody's face, all over, everywhere, because that's how you have to. The biggest currency in this game, besides power, is information.
Yeah.
And in order to get information, you have to be social. That's why players like Tyler, who are social butterflies that also have the strategic mind, do well in these types of games.
Yeah.
So I think that that's the only place I really see where he kind of lacked in this rule was I just don't think that he was in there enough.
I think he was actually struggling with the fact that everybody just liked Ian. And I know that sounds strange, but it's one of those circumstances where you can relate to everybody. You can have conversations with everybody and everybody just kind of liked Ian, but they didn't want to fight for Ian. And so it's like a different level of social gameplay when you don't add anything to their game, which I thought was interesting because in his last ditch effort to try to save himself, he reminded them all. He said, if I can help your game, then keep me here. And I think if everybody kind of stepped back and looked, then we're like, well, can he really help my game? I don't know if he can, because he wasn't offering them a whole lot. I mean, Nicole thought that he would help her gameplay, but that's the only person she really had. So he was likable and he was someone that people seemed to like have a willingness to talk to, but he was not the person that people were willing to support and get behind. And that I think we can go back to what we talked about at the beginning. When you have people who are making fun of him and no one's stepping up and defending him, I think really shows you the level at which people are willing to fight for him. And they weren't willing to, which shows that he's not pushing that social gameplay enough.
Yeah. Right. And you could really tell even in his edit from the last week, like he got maybe 10 minutes of less than that of screen time from all three episodes.
Yeah.
The past week. Like he really was not present. And that says something. Like there was like when I was a casual back way back in the day, like you could always tell like who the quote unquote good players were, who the stars were, because even if they weren't involved in that week's drama, whether they had power or on the block or even competing in that week's competition, they still had a DR or two, or they still had a snippet of something on the episode or whatever it was. And this last week, he really was not present at all.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he said in a couple of his post game interviews that he got along well with everyone, but one of you mentioned, but again, being friendly isn't enough to stick around.
Right.
Yeah. Most people liked him. He was supposedly friends with Danny and Nicole, but what good did it do him? First, they mocked him. And then they got rid of him with a bunch of crocodile tears.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So, all right. The sixth rule warns against being too much of a threat. And Ian said in his pregame interview with ET Online that as a winner, he believed he'd be a target from the start. And indeed, he came in as only one of two previous winners, thanks to some partying in COVID hotspot Florida by a couple of other winners. But, you know, even so, I don't think anybody really looked at him and worried too much because he wasn't the dominant type of player who struck fear into the hearts of the others.
Right. Yeah, I do think that his win is an interesting one because of who he was up against and ended up beating. I think that him winning kind of spoke to his gameplay because he was able to win on, you know, season 14. But I don't think that he was someone like a Janelle who didn't win, but her gameplay in her previous seasons was so above board. And so like you saw it, you heard it, you couldn't miss it. And so it's a different type of threat when you're walking into this house. Like just because you won, that doesn't necessarily mean you're a great player. It means you won your season and you clearly did things right in that season. But that doesn't necessarily equate to being a threat to win again. But if you're someone like a Janelle who people were already looking at as soon as she walked in that door, because they know that she plays hard, they know that she's in your face, and they know that she is going to be, you know, to try to win competitions and she's going to stir the pot. They didn't see that with Ian. And so I think Ian took his status of being a winner and gave it too much of a significance, you know, where he kept looking at he and Nicole and thinking we're the only two winners. Well, maybe it's not that big of a deal, really. And I don't think that it was. I don't think that people necessarily perceived that as being a threat to Ian winning again because of the manner in which Ian won previously.
Yeah, I when I look at the reception of Ian's win from his fellow players and from, you know, from some people even in the hardcore fan community, I kind of look at it. I don't look at it this way, but I think that people look at it the same way that before Winners at War, people looked at Kim's win as like, look who they were playing with. Of course they won.
Mm.
You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Right.
But you also, and like, and I always said this when people have said that about Kim, but you also have to think like, but she still won and you don't win like just on a fluke.
Right.
Like we've seen bad people win.
Right.
These games before.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to discredit their win, but I do agree with you, Jessica, that in his mind, all winners are winners. So
yes,
he's coming into the game as a winner. And we also have to remember that even without the pre-gaming drama involved, him and Nicole were expecting to play with Casey and Josh at least four winners in the house.
Right.
So I think that they came into the game like with a mindset of, okay, there's at least four of us.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to approach that differently than just one of you playing. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So I do think that kind of plays a little bit into his idea of how to approach this part of the game.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, yes, Ian won, but I think most people felt that second place Tyler was a much bigger threat. You know, as far as they were concerned, mm-hmm. a couple of them wanted to keep Tyler around for exactly that reason, to be a shield. But for the rest of them, the question is how stupid it was to have Tyler on the block and not vote him out. You know, we'll find out as the season progresses, but that will be discussed when those players lose or maybe when Tyler wins.
Mm.
You know, as for Ian, he wasn't a huge threat. And I do think that I do think that some of them had in mind that he won once already, or at least were using that as an excuse. But compared to Tyler, you know, if those two are on the block, you got to vote Tyler out unless you're super aligned with him or using him somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely stay with me here. I might lose you for a second. All right. How crazy is it to maybe make yourself a bigger target by aligning with these bigger targets?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe make yourself a bigger target to become so big of a target that now you become a shield. Because I think that is something that Tyler has played into this season.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm already a big target coming into the game. People are going to want me out. So what if I'm so much of a target that they can't take me out, that they have to hide behind me?
Right.
You know, so like, I think that Ian had the potential to like pull that kind of card. But like you said, Jessica, he was too invested in Nicole and too invested in that relationship to realize it's like he's facing Nicole this way going into her. And he doesn't realize that all the other people are not going their own ways. They're coming against him.
Right. I do think, though, if you want to try to play that shield card, you have to also play other parts of the game better.
Right. Right.
Tyler is clearly very good at the social game. Considering everything that we've seen him pull through thus far, I'm amazed that he has been able to win people back over in that house and not end up getting voted out this week. So I think that speaks volumes of not only the shield card that he's got, but also his ability to manipulate people and talk to people in a particular way and give them the reasons to keep him around. So it's kind of like a multi-level thing. Like if you want to be a shield, that's great, but you also have to know how to include that into your gameplay.
Yeah.
It would have been completely different gameplay for him because he would have actually had to be playing the game.
There's that.
Yeah. So All right. The seventh rule says to trust almost nobody. And the biggest issue we have here is how Ian had so much trust in Nicole and Danny, his supposed allies and friends. He trusted Danny so much that he believed her when she called him a pawn. And as the week went on, he wasn't mad at her for turning on him, but for supposedly failing to read the house that in his mind turned him from a pawn into a target. Hmm. Of course, what he didn't know was that both his pals, we've mentioned this already, made fun of them, and then they both helped to vote him out the door very much on purpose.
Yeah. I agree with everything you just said.
Yeah. I on my notes under that rule, I just have Danny in a circle.
Just such a misread. And I understand that obviously we get to see more than they see, right? I mean, obviously we get to watch the live feeds mm-hmm. and we get to, you know, see what's happening in rooms that they're not present in. But I do feel like there were so many things happening with Danny that you have to be questioning the maneuver more than he did. He really wasn't trying to have a conversation with her that kind of made sense. And I think you've already talked about this, JT, that the approach that he took with her was not necessarily the best approach. And then if you jump back to the announcement that she and Tyler had kind of a falling out and that she was going to be campaigning hard against him, you got to put all of that together and really take a look at what is Danny doing? Is mm-hmm. Danny really getting behind me? Is she really looking out for me? And why didn't she pick other people? Why pick me? If I'm the ultimate pawn, aren't there other people that could have been a better choice than myself as being a replacement? Because we do know, and you've said it, JT, pawns go home. Mm-hmm. So why not pick somebody that's not necessarily a pawn, but someone that if they go home, won't make me go home? You know, I mean, you could put Enzo up. We've already talked about her not picking Enzo. And mm-hmm. so I do think that there were so many things that he misread about Danny's decision. But I think it was because he had convinced himself that she really did have his interests at heart. And she didn't, clearly.
Yeah, I think that the one thing that I noticed, I didn't watch a ton of the feeds this past week, but I noticed this through the clips that I saw it on the websites and on articles and the episodes. I don't think Ian ever asked Danny, why not Enzo?
Yeah, I don't think he did.
I think if he would have asked her that question, what is she going to say? Like, what is she going to say that's going to keep what she's been saying in mind? There's nothing she can say except, I really don't want Tyler to go. Like,
yeah,
it's got to be you. Like, that's all she can say. And maybe if he says that to her, he can kick it into gear, which is what this whole podcast has been about, and maybe try to stay. Because I think if there's someone that could have went home, or someone that he could have stayed against and made them go home, it was Tyler.
Yeah.
And I feel like, and also, speaking of reads, Jessica, you don't see like the way that Nicole has been acting the last 48 hours. Like, you don't realize mm-hmm. you're going home. Like, yeah. As much as she's saying how much this sucks and she's trying her hardest and she's fighting for you and she's doing what she can, the question should be, why I'm staying?
Right.
Yeah, right. Well, right. And the other thing, too, which I think is interesting about Tyler is we've already talked about how he was behaving in the house. But also, again, I feel like everybody has forgotten the fact that Tyler was basically saying, send me home, just like a week ago.
Right.
And all of a sudden, that's not a thing anymore. All of a sudden, we're just going to be like, hey, this guy was ready to lay down and die last week. He wanted to go home and he was throwing himself on the sword and saying, I screwed up. I made a mistake. Send me home. Let's just remind people of that. Be like, he did not want to play this game. He has told multiple people in the house, I don't like this game anymore. I don't want to play it. I don't want to be here. Okay, let's give him that. He doesn't right. want to be here. He doesn't want to play this game. Are you actually going to keep this person around and potentially reward him with $500,000 when he's openly announcing to the house, I don't want to play this game?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, JT, to your Enzo thing about Danny, I don't remember whether there was a specific conversation or, you know, there was something else. But I believe the reason that they had prepared, whether they told him or not, I can't remember, was Enzo was too iffy as a pawn. So if she had put Enzo up, you know, Tyler might have stayed. But by putting him up, that's what made him the ultimate pawn, because no one was going to vote Ian out.
Yeah, that's the that's
the mere announcement of that should have just been a huge red flag.
Right.
Yeah. Just a huge red flag.
Like, I understand, like, playing to the house or play, because I understand. I totally understand why Dani made that move. She wanted to make Ian comfortable so that he didn't campaign, which it worked. And he wanted Devon, Kevin, and David to feel like the votes might be there so that they still vote the way they're supposed to. Like, okay, so I get it, but just the way that it was done and how it was done and the condescending way it was done, I'm just not a fan of.
Right.
And I think that it was just right in front of Ian's eyes. It was right there. And I just like, come on, bro.
All right. Well, we can move on to Appendix A, which deals with the jury phase of the game. And while Ian is, of course, the first juror, nobody really chose to get rid of him for that reason. Both Nicole and Dani played up how sad they supposedly were and how much they claimed to try to save him. And, you know, both of them are good for now in terms of keeping Ian on their side should they be looking for his vote at the end of the game. The problem is that almost everybody else in the house knows that, you know, that's what they were doing. And that information will undoubtedly get passed to Ian at some point. So they're probably screwed either way if they make it to the end.
I'm hoping that he hears all of it. I really hope that someone gives him an earful when they get in that house and tell him exactly what was transpiring behind his back.
Yeah, I feel like there was some bad, not just jury management, but just taste and personality traits that really came out. And that's the thing about these shows is that you're under the camera 24 hours a day, and we all have, I've said some stuff about some people that I am not proud of, but I have known, okay, I need to apologize. I need to, that wasn't right of me to say or do, and I don't need to wait until I get caught to apologize. And exactly. I feel like they knew they were wrong. They got talked to by production. And instead of being like, you know what? Well, if production is talking to me about it, that means that CBS know about it. And if CBS knows about it, TMZ knows about it. And if TMZ knows about it, Twitter knows about it.
Yes.
So I should probably go handle this. You know,
to your point, I will say that there was a scene that I think it was Dani, Kevin, and Devon, and I think it was just those three, and they were talking about the game, and they specifically were mentioning hashtags for Twitter. Mm-hmm. And so they are clearly very aware that, like, America's going to be talking about this, and they're making up hashtags for, you know, not what anyone expected for the All-Stars and all this stuff. And so they have to be aware that this is being talked about. I mean, they have to be. I know when I was out on the island, I was very cognizant of the fact that there was cameras on me and what I was saying. And that can be a detriment to your game for sure. But you also have to have a realization that there is life outside of the house for these people. And they need to be aware of how they are being perceived, how they are presenting themselves, and what they're putting out there. And it's not going to just stop at the jury. It's going to continue as they move on in their lives. And I, it saddened me to see that people would do these things to Ian and to other people in the house. There've been a lot of disrespectful things said. And that's hard for viewers, because you want to love the show and you want to love the people that you're watching on your TV screen. And it's very, very hard to do, especially in circumstances like this. So I do hope that Ian is provided all of the information he needs before he votes, so he knows exactly what he will be up against in making that decision.
Yeah, I feel like everything you do, especially at this point in the game, everything you do is going to be thought of, scrutinized, and talked about in the jury house. Like, every single move that you make. And so anything to taint your opponent's game is going to be brought up, even if you're in the jury house. You're going home. Tell so and so that this is a certain thing. You know, has happened before. And about, you know, the everyone like having lives, I want to like make it clear that like these are also still human beings. They are people. They do make mistakes and they do have to live with that. So like we can scrutinize them as players. We can scrutinize, you know, sometimes their personality traits that lead into certain things they do in the game and how they affect the game. But I just always try to be cognizant and be kind that they are and remember that they are people. And we can have our opinions and we can speak them because we're all entitled to them, but that doesn't mean that we have to attack them.
Right.
Which is what I constantly do on Twitter. And I've been very vocal about it too. Like, that's wrong. That was something wrong of you to do. Now go live your best life.
Judge not, or else you will be judged.
You will be judged. Exactly.
Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. All right. Well, it's about time to wrap things up. So, JT, what are your final thoughts on Ian? Now that we've said you're not going to judge and everything.
Right. Ian came into the game and thought that laying low and playing an under the radar game would be enough to keep him safe until it was time for him to kick things in gear. Ian just waited a little bit too long. I think that Ian should have been more socially interacted in the group. I think he should have got up earlier and I think he should have stayed up later. I think that Ian should have used his sickness of not being able to compete in the veto as a strategy and talked to more people and use that time to get information from the time that he missed. I feel like that was a missed opportunity. And I feel like Ian's game was full of just that, missed opportunities. There were time after time after time where Ian could have turned his game into a different direction, and he just missed all the turns. And I think that's why Ian lost.
I was really hoping that Ian was going to come into the season as like a silent assassin, because he had the personality to do that. He was kind of an underrated winner. I feel like his strategy of wanting to lay low could have worked in his benefit if he had done it correctly. And unfortunately, he thought laying low was going to be enough. You can't lay low and not also take shots while you're doing it. And that's what he was missing. He was laying low. He was doing a lot of sleeping. I will say that. You've got a very good point there, JT. There was a lot of we see Ian in the bed again. But unfortunately, Ian wasn't using any of that to his benefit. He could have laid low, but also listened better, utilized that information more, shared information, and compared notes. And we didn't really see him doing that. We saw him with so many opportunities being presented to him, where people were having conversations with him, where they were giving him so much information, trying to get him to see what was transpiring. And there were so many moments where I would see him having a follow-up conversation with someone where I thought, this is it. They're all going to put it together now. And then it wouldn't happen. And so there was a whole lot of just disappointing moments when it came with Ian, because I do think he had the potential to do very well, because there are so many people in this house that were seen as bigger threats, that were seen as bigger targets, that the laying low strategy, not bad if you can lay low, but also play the game at a much higher level that's kind of under the radar, which unfortunately he just wasn't able to pull off.
Yeah. Yeah, Ian said at one point this week that if he left, he would be getting, quote, jokered out because of a twist that put him in a position where he never should have been vulnerable. And while it's true he was, you know, not supposed to be one of the nominees this week, he's still wrong about leaving because of a twist. Ian was not vulnerable because of a twist. He was vulnerable because he never did anything to protect himself. His strategy of lying low succeeded in keeping himself around for a little while, but also in keeping himself out of any meaningful alliances. I know he worried that he might have been seen as a threat early, and under different circumstances, I suppose that could have been true. But nobody even needed to worry about that because he wasn't in any significant alliances and he didn't win anything. So he wielded zero power in the house. But Ian was locked in to that type of game that he wanted to play, and he was unwilling to change that. At the end, Ian said he fought hard to stay in all the way till the last minute. It's just too bad he didn't fight hard to stay in the first 99% of the minutes. Because then maybe he would have had allies who would care about him sticking around. But he didn't. He was too busy lying low and waiting for a time that never came. And that is why Ian lost. And that's also why I have right here. There we go. There it is. The shirt there, that's, of course, from the first Renap Royal Rumble. That was a shirt that I was wearing in there that Jessica then got for me.
It was perfect. It was so perfect.
Yes. And I think that, you know, if Ian wore this shirt and looked in a mirror, he would maybe understand better.
Exactly. Yeah. That's our hour and 8 minute podcast summed up in one sentence.
Exactly.
In one T-shirt.
Yes. Well, before we do start to wrap things up, I wanted to mention that although the rules are different for Survivor and Big Brother, behind me over here is a great depiction of the Survivor rules drawn by Eric Reichenbach. If you're interested, you can get an 11x17 version of this poster at tinyurl.com/DavidRulesPoster2. We also have another way to get the rules so you can always have them with you, and that is T-shirt form.
Yeah.
You just go to robhasawebsite.com or robhasapodcast.com. Click the merch link near the top. Sort the store so new items are first, and shirts will be right there. Had to move that down, you know, so I could.
And if you are outside of the United States and would still like a poster, you can contact me through Twitter. My Twitter handle is here, and you can let me know, and I can work out all of the shipping for you. So it'll be a little more expensive, but don't hesitate to contact me. We can work it out.
Yes. Now, I also want to encourage everyone to check out the RHAP patron program at robhaswebsite.com/patron. Once you join, you'll see all the great perks Rob has for patrons, including tons of opportunities to interact with Rob, call-in shows and Facebook groups. He added a live patron call-in show before each eviction episode. So again, remember to go to robhaswebsite.com/patron. And once you get to the Facebook groups, make sure to say hello.
Yes. And you should also say hello to us on Twitter. I am at Jessica Lewis, as I just indicated. And I got to go this way. There we go. Everything's backwards. At David Bloomberg, and also at JT Does New York City, or NYC, I should say. So at JT Does NYC.
Yes.
So you should definitely follow all of us. You can get all great content from not only just Big Brother tweets, but when Survivor ever comes back, we can tweet about Survivor. And then just everything that's happening in our lives, like my dogs and politics and all kinds of good stuff. So you should follow us all. I know, I got to throw that in there, David. Yeah. and you can hear what we are saying. You can see pictures that we post and all kinds of great things. So please follow us all.
Yes. Now, JT, where else can people find you and the other things that you're working on?
So right now I am working on a true crime podcast called Crime Freak, where I, as a total no journalism, higher education ever. I am investigating long lost crimes, and I'll have something weird about them. Like the lady who had a man living in her attic for 10 years and didn't know. Or little weird things.
Like,
yeah, little weird things like that. So yeah, I've done a lot of research, and I actually start recording next week. Cool. So look for that to drop on Halloween.
Nice.
October 31st. It's gonna be great. So I'm doing that. And then of course you can follow me on Instagram, at JTDoesNYC or at Subbox Junkie, where I, review subscription boxes. Cause there's nothing better than getting things you in the mail and things you don't need in the mail.
Yeah. Nice.
So, yes, that's what I got going on. And yeah, just trying to live lived through the world pandemic. That's all.
Yeah, can 2020 be over already?
Yeah, oh my goodness.
All right, so we do need a hashtag, and I did not think of one as we were going along. I don't know if either of you did.
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Based on what JT kept saying, it's kind of a long one, but hashtag kick it into high gear. Something along those lines.
Yeah.
I was thinking more along the lines, JT, of what you were saying about the boiling water, you know, that
a watched pot never boils.
Yeah. An Ian pot never boils.
An Ian pot never boils.
But, so yeah, I don't know if there's anything there or slow boil or
I like slow boil.
That's I like slow boil. Yeah, let's go with slow boil. Yeah.
I would almost go with no boil, but
or we could let's do slow boil, no boil.
Yeah,
that's there a good one.
Yeah,
that's it.
Slow boil, no boil.
Okay, yeah. And of course, there's the hashtag for this podcast overall, which is YX Lost. Everyone should make sure you're subscribed to all of the RHAP Big Brother podcasts at robhaswebsite.com/bbpodcast or on your favorite podcatcher. We, of course, are also on the reality TV Rehab Ups feed. So you subscribe to that feed, you'll get both this, our Survivor podcasts, a whole bunch of other podcasts, so much more. In a week, we will be right back here to discuss Big Brother again with another great guest. So be sure to tune in for that.
And thank you so much to Scott St. Pierre, who does all of the editing for us, both on the video and audio version of Why Blank Lost. We appreciate all of his hard work. Thank you so much, Scott. And thank you to Will from America, who created the theme song that you hear, which I believe is now both on the audio and video version. Or no, it's not. I apologize. It's still just on the audio version. Yeah.
But it says Big Brother now.
Yes, that's what I was
saying. Right.
I knew that it got changed. So it does say Big Brother. So you should definitely check that out. Thank you so much, Will, for putting that together for us. And thank you, JT, for joining us on this. This was so much fun to have you join. And
thank
I'm intrigued by this podcast you were talking about.
I've been working right into my world
that I live in. So that's so much fun.
I've been working really hard on it. So it's like my little quarantine pet project that I've been working on.
I like it. Everyone needs one.
Yeah,
well, thank you so much because you have been wonderful and appreciate you being here and bringing your insights. So thanks.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, let me echo that. Thank you so much. You know, we've interacted on Twitter before now, before you were even JT Does NYC.
Yeah.
And thanks a lot for coming, Jessica. Thank you for another great week.
And thank you,
everyone,
David.
Everyone, we will see you in a week. Bye.
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 Lost Big Brother and you're feeling down. David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.